defects were many, or so I was often told. I was too young to be clever, too small to be helpful. My feet were large and clumsy. They tangled when I ran. My coat was untidy, my manners dreadful. I once ate an entire leg of antler before my rightful turn. I was curious to a fault. I wandered too far and wondered too often. I was, in short, a disappointment at my only task in life, which was to do my best, like all Dairns, to stay quietly alive. Those days you'd have been as likely to pet a unicorn as you would to sight a Dairn. Our pack elder, Dalentor, white-muzzled and frail, liked to speak of a time when our ancestors roamed in great bands, hundreds of Dairns at a time, across the Nidaran plains. At night they would form into family groups, gathering around to prepare wild grasses and berries, or perhaps cook the stray badger or kokchit. But all that was long ago. Now there were just a few of us left in our part of the world, a single band of four families cowering together, meek as mouselings. Hiding from humans, those most unpredictable of predators. Hiding from the sun itself. Some said there were more Dairns far away, living in mountain caves or on distant islands. Some said those sightings were the result of misguided hope. Dairns were often mistaken for dogs. We share many physical similarities. Dogs, however, lack opposable thumbs. They can't walk upright. They aren't able to glide from tree to tree. They can't speak to humans. And dogs aren't, forgive me, the sharpest claws in the hunt, if you catch my meaning. In any case, whether there were more of us or not, Dalentor feared we would all be gone soon, slaughtered for our warm and silky fur. Like the Carlisian seal, hunted by humans to extinction, or the red marlet, devastated by disease, or the blue-tufted Zigwin, wiped out when its territory was destroyed in the long-ago war. It seemed there were many ways to leave the world forever. We didn't want to believe our days were numbered. But here's what we did know. Once we'd been many, and now we were few. My parents feared I would be the first among us to die when trouble came, and trouble, they knew, was fast approaching. I was small and sometimes disappointing. But I knew I could be brave as well. I was not afraid to be the first to die. I just did not want to be the last to live. I did not want to be the Endling. Chapter 2. A Visit from Some Butterbats. The end began not so long ago, the day some butterbats came to visit. It was early afternoon when I first heard them. I tiptoed past my sleeping family, nestled together like one great animal. Dairns are not night creatures by nature, but we no longer ventured out until the sun was long gone. We feared the giant cats called Felivets, who hunted at night, but we feared poachers and the soldiers of the Murdano, Nidara's ruler, even more. Still, I was restless, and I was sure I'd heard something just outside the door. The air, moving beneath wings both delicate and powerful. My sister Lyria yawned and opened one eye.
"I'm so hungry I could eat you, Bix," she murmured.
"She's too scrawny to eat," said my oldest brother, Avar.
I ignored their teasing. I was used to ignoring my siblings. It took some effort, squeezing through the door of our latest temporary home. An abandoned mirabear hive. It resembled a huge wasp nest that had fallen to earth. It was shaped like a honeycomb, with holes the size of large boulders and glistened in the light like raw honey, though it was rock hard to the touch. My father said the hive was made of volcanic ash, sulfur, and sand, mixed with sap from a bulla tree. Dairns used to fashion circle camps on the plains or weave tree nests when we moved through forests. We didn't do that anymore. There were many things we didn't do anymore, or so Dalentor, our teacher, the holder of our history, told us. He hinted